Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, January the 21st, 2020. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can continue our study today because you have shown us in advance all that is to take place. We're grateful that you have done this, and we're asking that you would help us to absorb all that you've given so that we might be prepared for the time to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to share an article with you found in the Dallas Morning News. It was published on December the 8th, 2019. And the writer of the article is Joshua J. Whitfield. That last name is spelled W-H-I-T-F-I-E-L-D. Joshua J. Whitfield. The title of the article is America on the Brink of Civil War? More like a coming reign of terror. Let me read that title for you again. Is America on the brink of civil war? More like a coming reign of terror. As I said before, the article is found in the Dallas Morning News, published December the 8th, 2019. And the writer of the article is Joshua J. Whitfield. Here's the article. Are we headed for civil war? December's newly designed cover of the Atlantic features a handprint in red and blue paint, smeared and blood-like. Underneath it reads, How to Stop Civil War. It's a cover that both haunts and sells like a paperback thriller. Might America be in store for another civil war? Such is the idea of the image, nerving current civic fears by the suggestion that something might be coming, something bad. Inside, the editor, Jeffrey Goldberg, manages this advertised fear. We do not believe that conditions in the United States today resemble those of the 1850s, America, he writes. But we worry that the ties that bind us are fraying at alarming speed. We are becoming contemptuous of each other in ways that are both dire and possibly irreversible. Such is what the issue is really about. Not prophecies of doom, but diagnoses of what's tearing us apart, the aggregate effect of all those politicized and Facebook fights, wearing us thin. The rhetoric of civil war is but a reflex of history, traumatic like a flashback. Given the endlessness and irreconcilability of our contemporary conflicts, such understandably comes to mind. The bloody, uniquely American ghost of Gettysburg, Antietam and half a dozen dead. What is the end of our differences if not violence, especially when compromise is lost to the imagination? Americans here naturally think civil war. However, what if civil war isn't what we should be worried about, but instead some different historical ghost? Something French, perhaps. What if instead of civil war, we should fear another reign of terror? What if that's what this strange mix of social stress and broken politics portend? What if, unlike in France, our reign of terror is but delayed? I think of Hannah's Arendt's On Revolution, writing that she wrote, of her controversial comparison of the revolutions in France and America, of why she thought France descended into a reign of terror and the guillotine while America enjoyed relative imperfect stability. Whereas in America, she said, relatively strong political structures created public spaces where freedom could appear, in France, the ruling elite instead pandered to the impoverished masses. Instead of freedom, vague happiness was made the goal of the revolution in France instead of the good of the republic. Now the revolution served the shifting good of the people. It was a sort of populism built upon promises of the political class, which in time, unsurprisingly, gave rise to little more than mob chaos. A reign of terror, the unfortunate masses having become enraged that happiness never came, because they were merely the pandered, empty words of the elite. Which is why, unlike the editors of the Atlantic, it's not civil wars I worry about, but reigns of terror. When I catch glimpse of Donald Trump's rallies, the hateful rhetoric of the president, and the glee and hard, volatile edge of his adoring crowds, I ask myself if these aren't our modern-day concepts of terror. Who in their angst would rather eliminate elements of our citizenry than understand them? But then I think close to the same when I hear progressive politicians push their plainly false tolerance, their thinly veiled hatred of traditional moralities and politics unlike their own, unlike whatever is the current creed of the Zeigarists. The left has their mobs too, and they would unleash terror as well. Both are curated by factions within the political class, dangerously psyched up by false promises. And it's because our loudest politicians promise easy false happiness instead of the hard work of freedom. But the question is, can this outcome be avoided? I don't know. Arendt thought that if there was any hope, it lay in the revival of smaller, more local politics and the protection of privacy. Maybe then we all should get off social media, subscribe to the local paper, and worry more about city councils than Congress. Forget regulating social media. Let's eliminate it. Maybe also we should reestablish the society of neighborhoods, focusing less on divisive social issues and more on education, infrastructure, and potholes. Perhaps this is the sort of work that will keep us from violence, that will keep us so busy and bound together that we just won't have time to squabble. I expect I'd think better of my neighbors if only I saw them and interacted with them really as neighbors in the flesh. Maybe that's what can be done to save our country. So simple, so untechnological, something we don't even have to vote on. If only we'll imagine it, put our phones down, and look up at our neighbor. Joshua Whitfield is a pastoral administrator at the St. Rita Catholic Community in Dallas, and he is the writer of this article. Notice what he's saying here. Perhaps we need to stop all of the technological interaction and start talking with one another again. Start operating as if we are in a neighborhood together. There is so much talk by some of those who are very pro the president concerning a coming civil war if he has done this and if the next thing is done. And the writer of the article is saying the most that can come out of this either way would be a reign of terror. Now, we have been warned in advance that there will be trouble, that the nation will begin to speak like a dragon. And sometimes when we hear that terminology, we think that it only applies to our interaction with other nations. But the truth of the matter is that the United States of America will ultimately speak internally as a dragon. Are you ready for this? Are you rooted and grounded in truth? Are you allowing the power of the Holy Spirit to guide in your actions and in your decision making? Here's another article found in the Intelligencer. That's the Intelligencer website. Intelligencer. The Intelligencer website. Published October the 24th, 2019. The writer of this article is Adam Raymond, R-A-Y-M-O-N-D. The title of the article is How Close is the U.S. to Civil War? About two-thirds of the way, Americans say. The title again, How Close is the U.S. to Civil War? About two-thirds of the way, Americans say. Here's that article. A majority of Americans, no matter where they live or the party they typically vote for, think the country is growing apart On political, racial, and class lines, Americans think divisions are widening, according to a new Georgetown University poll. That division is leading to a dark place, respondents said. Asked how close the country is to the edge of a civil war, with zero being not close at all and 100 being time to get the go bag, Americans say we are 67.23% close. So two-thirds of the way to bloodshed. Could be better, could be worse. The poll also shows how people think we got here. On one side are Republicans who say Democratic political leaders and the media are responsible for the division. On the other side are Democrats who say Trump, his Republican allies, and wealthy special interests are to blame. The only thing the two sides can agree on is that we are near, very near. Add political leaders and prominent pundits invoking civil war to that environment, and you get a country that feels like it's nearing collapse. Those invocations are coming more and more from the right, Charlie Wetzel wrote in the New York Times last month. And here's why. It doesn't matter that we are not on the brink of a civil war. The threat as outlined by right-wing media is intended to inspire fear in liberals and conservatives alike. For conservatives, it's the notion that Democrats will stop at nothing to get rid of Mr. Trump and will marshal the forces of the deep state to right the wrongs of the 2016 election. For liberals, it's a warning. Don't push church-going, gun-loving conservatives too far, or there'll be dangerous consequences. It's not just pro-Trump forces either. It's Trump himself. In late September, Trump tweeted a quote from a pastor warning that if he's removed from office, it will cause a civil war-like fracture in this nation from which our country will never heal. Often, civil war warnings from right-wingers come during discussions over guns. Beto O'Rourke, the man who was running for president, pledges to take guns at last month's Democratic debate, and his desire accelerated the threats, whipping up passions among gun rights advocates such as Rob Drake, a Major League Baseball umpire. This week, Drake tweeted a message that could have come out of any right-wing fever swamp. I will be buying an AR-15 tomorrow. Because if you impeach Mr. President this way, you will have another civil war. The tweet was eventually deleted, but not because of a typo. Americans say U.S. is two-thirds of the way to a civil war. That is a very, very sobering article. Short, but intense. It is found in the Intelligencer website, published October the 24th, 2019, written by Adam Raymond, and it asks the question, how close is the U.S. to civil war? About two-thirds of the way, Americans say. Perhaps we can take a look at one last article. In the Atlantic, November the 25th, 2019, an article written by Peter Wehner, W-E-H-N-E-R, is entitled, Are Trump's Critics Demonically Possessed? The title of the article again, Are Trump's Critics Demonically Possessed? And of course, the article is found in The Atlantic, published November the 25th, 2019. Here's that article. It isn't enough for Franklin Graham and Eric Metaxas, two prominent figures within the American evangelical movement, to lavish praise on President Donald Trump. They have now decided they must try to demonize his critics, literally. During his November the 21st interview with Graham Metaxas, a Salem Radio Network talk show host asked the son of the late evangelist Billy Graham What do you think of what is happening now? I mean, it's a very bizarre situation to be living in a country where some people seem to exist to undermine the President of the United States. It's just a bizarre time for most Americans. Franklin Graham, President and CEO of the Billy Graham Evangelical Association, responded, "Well, I believe it's almost a demonic power that is trying." At which point, Metaxas interjected, "I would disagree. It's not almost demonic. You know, and I know, at the heart, it's a spiritual battle." Graham agreed, though his defense of Trump was based on economic rather than spiritual or cultural issues. Graham argued that a strong economy leads to more tithing and church building programs. Metaxas then complained, "People seem to have developed to a kind of moralistic Phariseeism. And they say, how can you support somebody, blah, 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 and then go on to cite how he is the least Christian?" You know, they go on. And I think these people don't even have a biblical view when it comes to that. You know, that if somebody doesn't hold to our theology, that doesn't mean that they can't be a great pilot or a great doctor or a great dentist. I mean, if it's a bizarre situation that we're in, that people seem only to have these standards for the president, somehow. To which Graham responded, "I believe that Donald Trump believes. He believes in God. He believes in Jesus Christ. His depth, he doesn't know, you know. He went to churches here in New York. He didn't get a whole lot of teaching." There are several things to say in response to the Graham-Metaxas conversation, starting with the theologically distorted and confused charges that were leveled by Graham and amplified by Metaxas. They didn't make the case that Trump's critics are sincere but wrong, or even that they are insincere and unpatriotic. Instead, they felt compelled to portray those with whom they disagree politically as under demonic influences, which for a Christian is about as serious an accusation as there is. It means their opponents are the embodiment of evil, the enemy, the anti-God, a kind of anti-Christ. There's no biblical or theological case to support the claim that critics of Donald Trump are under the spell of Satan. It is evident out of thin air, it is invented out of thin air, a shallow, wild, and reckless charge meant to be a conversation stopper. Just ask yourself where this game ends. Do demonic powers explain opposition to all politicians supported by Graham and Metaxas, or to Trump alone? Would they argue that all Christians and non-Christians who oppose Trump are under the influence of Satan? What about when it comes to specific issues? Should we ascribe to Beelzebub the fact that many Americans differ with Graham and Metaxas on issues such as gun control, tax cuts, charter schools, federal judges, climate change, the budget for the National Institute of Health, foreign aid, criminal justice and incarceration, a wall on the southern border, and Medicaid reform? Are we supposed to believe that Adam Schiff's words during the impeachment inquiry are not his own, but those of demons in disguise? Were the testimonies of Ambassador Bill Taylor, Fiona Hill, and Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman truthful accounts offered by admirable public servants that badly hurt the president's credibility, or the result of demonic powers? For Graham and Metaxas, it appears that agreeing with them equates to agreeing with God. And disagreeing with them, at least when it comes to Donald Trump, means doing the work of Satan. This is a rather troubling article, as it describes a situation that is quickly developing here. But as I said before, we have been warned concerning all of this, and you and I need to understand that this is exactly what God has told us about, the kind of conflicts that will occur, the speaking of the dragon internally and externally. That last article that I was reading came from The Atlantic, as I said before. It was published November the 25th, 2019. And the title of the article is, Are Trump's Critics Demonically Possessed? We know that Satan is doing a serious work in this world, in this land, and everywhere he can. And you and I understand clearly what he's doing. He's attempting to destroy the Church of God. And he is coming after those who keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. You and I need to be prepared for what is coming. You and I need to trust in God and place ourselves in his hand. And as I have said so often, we need to know what we believe, why we believe it, and where to find it. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to warn. You continue to reveal in the writings of those who really have no connection to the church. But we ask today that you would help us to be strengthened thereby as we refer to the Word of God and we spend some more time on our knees that we might be prepared for the time to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your daily briefing, January the 21st, 2020.